We want to thank Jaws Ron Jaworski, who is such a shy guy, for joining us, and Rich Cimini from the New York Daily News talking about the Jets and their chances against New England. Here's a little Marty Schottenheimer.
We knew coming in to be a tough battle. You know, Warner's a good quarterback. He's got all that experience, and he knows what to do with the ball. We could not get pressure on him. We tried about everything we had, and obviously he played extremely well for them. But once again, our football team found a way to get a victory.
Found a way. Len Dawson, thanks for joining us. We're joined by Rolf Benersker, who's been in a couple playoff games, maybe a couple years ago. Rolf, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Nick. Good to speak with you.
You know, all of us know Marty Schottenheimer. We've seen him in different vintages, and Marty has found a way to mellow in his time in San Diego. Rolf, tell us about this Marty Schottenheimer. How has he changed?
Well, you know, I don't really have the frame of reference that you do. I never played for the guy, but I have gotten to know him over the last 4 years, and I would say even in those 4 years, he's changed, I think, dramatically. And part of that comes, I think, with age. I mean, he's, what is he, 65 now, and or almost 65, 63, and he's been around the block a lot of times, had a lot of experiences. And so with that comes wisdom, and I think what's really become clear in Marty's life is what is important. And I think perhaps earlier in all of our lives, our results of what we do are more important than anything else and drive us. And certainly someone as competitive as Marty has been, those results are very important to him. I know he took great satisfaction in winning his 200th game, only five guys ever to have done that. But I think what's really become clear to him is the value of people and relationships. And that has changed, I think, in the 4 years he's been here. He's experienced a lot, even in the time in San Diego. He still hasn't shaken that sort of playoff letdown bug that he's carried for a long time. And yet, I think what he's learned to do is trust his players and trust his coaches more than ever before. And those are his words. I think we're seeing them in his actions. We're watching Cam Cameron, the offensive coordinator, call the plays and not have Marty, jump on the headset and try to change them. He's given Bum Phillips, the defensive coordinator, same deal. He's trusting his players more. He's, even in this season, if you look at the one loss they had against Baltimore, where Phillip Rivers was really kind of new to the helm at quarterback, he was pretty much buttoned up, not given a chance to really open up the offense. And they got conservative, and they lost that game in the last drive. A seasoned quarterback in McNair marched Baltimore down, and they scored to win. And I think that further made Marty realize he's got to let it go and let his players and his coaches do their thing. And I think that's perhaps one of the biggest changes you'll see.
Len Dawson, when Marty came to Kansas City, he was clearly the best coach I ever played for. He established a sense of belief in the system, laying that brick play by play. He still uses those phrases with the Chargers, but there's a different Marty that I see, because I know back in the days with the Chiefs, when you went to talk with Marty in his office, you were dancing, if you will, on a two-edged sword. You had to deal with Marty that was not comfortable with letting his players be leaders on the field. How has he changed?
First of all, how is Rolf? That's what I want to know. How's he doing?
Hey, Len, great talking to you.
Yeah, you doing all right?
I am. Thank you very much. Okay. Yourself?
I know what you've gone through. That's wonderful that you're feeling good. Anyway, Marty Schottenheimer. Okay. Nick, didn't they used to bet on when the first time he was going to cry at one of the meetings? He was very good at that. But he has some people, man. He's got some players on that team. You know, when he was here in Kansas City, he had a wonderful defense with Derek Thomas, Neil Smith, and all those guys. But he didn't have that offense to go along with it. But now in San Diego, he's got the whole shebang, man. He's got the offense and the defense that can compete against anybody. When you're looking at personnel, who has better personnel than the San Diego Chargers? I think most people feel that they're the best team in the National Football League. And Marty, as you grow older, you do mellow somewhat, and I think that's probably what he's doing. Like Rolf has said, he's mellowing somewhat and letting other people do their jobs and not try to do the whole thing. You can't do the whole thing these days in the National Football League. You better hire some people that know what they're doing and let them do it. And if they can't do it right, then you get some new people. But Marty, when you look at his record, Cleveland, Kansas City, Washington, San Diego, is he a good coach? You better believe he's a good coach, because he has won in all of those areas. And the one thing that he hasn't done, he hasn't won a Super Bowl. But this year, he has an excellent chance.
Well, let's talk about how Marty, we talked with Marv Levy last week about this. How does Marty build that sense of family and team? Because ultimately, I think that's where you can lean on each other in the pressure situations like the playoffs.
Well, I think so. He'll say that, you know, we're in this together. It's us. It's us here. Forget about the outside, the media, and all that other stuff. It's the people that are in this room right now, and he's addressing them. We control what is going to happen. And we have to believe in each other in here. And what you have to do is just do your job. Don't worry about the guy next to you or the guy on, if you're on offense, worry about the defense and all that stuff. Do your job. If you do your job and everybody is able to do that, then we are going to be successful. And I think he brings that across to his team.
I think that's
right, Lennon.
Well,
tell us about the things you guys do on Thursday nights.
Yeah, let me get to that in a sec. I think what has also helped, I think, this year is they've had to go through a lot of adversity. They lost Steve Foley to the shooting. They lost Terrence Keel. Merriman was out for four games. They've gone through a lot of distractions. You know, Breeze was let go in the off season. Phillip Rivers had to come in. They got behind in a couple of games. One game 21 points, one game 17, and were able to overcome those deficits. And so in the course of this year, a lot of trust has been built up within the playing side of the organization, the team itself, players looking at each other, realizing that they've been here before, they've overcome it, and I think that goes a long way in preparing a team to play well in the playoffs. But I think also Marty has built some of that intentionally over the last 3 or 4 years. He came to a few of us older guys and said, is there a way we could integrate some of the legacy of the organization and bring some of the older guys back and help be a resource for the younger players? And we talked about a lot of different ideas, and what came out of it was that we, as alumni, would go to practice every Thursday. We would buy dinner for the team. We'd bring in ribs and all kinds of stuff that they liked, and we would get 10 minutes with the players. They would take a knee around us. We would present our selection for the player of the game. We would honor that person. A photograph would have been made. We would present the photograph. The photograph would then be taken and put in a team meeting room, and every week they'd add another photo. And it became a highlight of the week for the players. It was sort of hump day. It was Thursday, so the tough practices were now over. We got to share some of our experiences and our wisdom. And one particular player, Miles McPherson, not a well-known player, defensive back for us, that has become a pastor, would share a message. And a lot of it had biblical basis, but a lot of it didn't. And it was always encouraging. It was always helping the players to have a different perspective on what they were going through. And it was a neat thing for us as older players, but I think a great resource for the team as well. And that's been now going for 3 years. Every Thursday we do it. And it has built sort of a togetherness that has leaned on the good principles of selfless play and thinking about others and recognizing who packs your parachute. It's not just the ace fighter pilot, it's the guy that sits in the hold of the boat that you know, makes sure you're safe. And so you look at the secretaries differently, and you look at the ball boys differently, and the equipment managers, and suddenly there's a whole organization that is leaning on each other. And then, as Len said, they have great personnel. They have really quality leaders, and guys like LT and Keenan McCardell and Lorenzo Neal and Donnie Edwards, and guys that have been there before, that understand that these opportunities only come along every now and then. They are to be grasped and played out as hard as you can play, because there's no guarantee you get there again next year. And that leadership component, I think, has allowed Marty to, you know, trust his players more and his coaches as well. And I think that's why they've been so successful.
You know, I think, Len Dawson, I want your comment on this. The difference in Marty to me is, in one way, demonstrated in how the Donnie Edwards situation was handled, because as I understand it, it was getting quite close to Donnie leaving the Chargers earlier in the year, and yet that relationship was not damaged. He's remained and continued to be a great part, as Ralph Benersu just said, as a leader on that team.
You know, I'm happy to hear that Marty did that in San Diego, what Rolf was talking about, because he did it in Kansas City with the ambassadors. And what it does to the current players, so many of them have no idea about the history of a franchise and what has happened beforehand. And it gives them an opportunity to learn something about, you know, who was here before us? You know, did we invent this game, or was it here before? And Marty is doing that and getting the other players who have retired involved in the organization. I think it's a very, very good move to do that, because the younger people, they're coming up here wide-eyed, and they think they invented the game, and you know, it's all about me. And then you come up with a guy like Tomlinson. Now, Rolf, how could Marty handle a guy like that? As soon as he scores a touchdown, he has the audacity to hand the ball to the official, go to the sidelines on the bench, you know, get a little rest,
and take the bench.
And do it again. This guy is such a breath of fresh air. I'm telling you, he is. Of everything I heard about him, I know him as an outstanding football player, but I have learned that he is also really an outstanding person. And when you got something like that on your football team, that is contagious. The other people have to see that on that in the organization that's playing there. And that has to rub off somewhat, because he's a gem, isn't he?
Oh, you don't even know. I mean, he is all of that and more, and the humility is genuine. His respect for his teammates and the organization and the history of the game is so real. And he does live it out every day, and it's been fun to watch the other players emulate that. And let's not forget Philip Rivers for a minute. I mean, Philip, we know all of his history, the first-round draft choice and all that, but he had to watch for 2 years Drew Brees do it, learn how to do it. And in the meantime, he was forced to build relationships in the locker room, playing dominoes and cards and hanging with these guys and getting water and doing all the things that a young guy does. But when his term came, the players respected him. They cared about him. He cared about them. The guy's incredibly competitive. And so what could have been a really awkward transition, because guys loved Drew, we all really cared about Drew, to make that transition, Philip really had to step in and say, look, it wasn't about me and Drew. I want to be the guy here. Help me out. And he'd earned their respect, and the guy's as competitive as they come, and a quality guy, spent 2 years learning how to do it, and now he's having a chance to shine. And so the team didn't miss a beat. Everybody's thrilled for Drew's success, but now you have Philip stepping in the gap and doing a tremendous job. He's a great leader, and he has the same kind of humility that LT does. And so all of a sudden now you have some of the real leaders on the team demonstrating that kind of behavior, as opposed to some of the other behavior that we all know about that goes on in the NFL.
Yeah, there's nothing better than a quarterback going to his people and say, I need your help. I need your help. You know, you got to tell me, you know, how you can help me, because I want to help you. And, you know, you get their attention and get them involved.
Yeah. Well, Ralph Manerska, to me, you have done as good a summary of this San Diego Chargers team coming back from 217 or more point deficits, the way it is primed for the playoffs. When we come back, final thoughts with Len Dawson, but we want to thank one of the true gentlemen I ever played with or got a chance to get to know, Ralph Manerska. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks. Thanks, Nick. Thanks, Len. Good talking to you.
Thanks very much.
Awesome job. When we come back, final thoughts from Len Dawson, Lenny the Cool, on the playoffs. So listen to Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius Satellite.